Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Finish it. Go hard.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, it is. Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. That's right, Tyler. Show up. Work hard. Finish. I worked out in the damn hotel gym yesterday morning, I believe it was. Didn't wipe a one bench down. Bench.
You need to work on just your overall manners for your fellow man.
I didn't see anybody in there wiping a bench down.
Y'all are all nasty and inconsiderate.
I was in there with a couple of young fellas that appeared to be athletes, so they probably didn't care. They wouldn't worry about wiping that thing down.
Sounds like a room full of a-holes.
Well, look, I'm somewhere in the middle on this because I'm far from a germaphobe. So you ain't got to wipe the bench down for me on my benefit. But this part I don't understand on your part, Dirty.
All right.
If you got the energy to work out, you got the strength to go out there and get the work in.
Yeah.
You got the strength.
Thank you.
You got the strength and ability to wipe down the damn bench. It's no sweat off your back, literally.
I ain't got the time or the focus.
Well,
my focus is in getting grind. My focus is getting it in. I don't get up from a bench and go, well, let me check this thing out.
Make sure. I don't have any seconds.
Here, let me go over here to this damn little napkin machine and get the little spray bottle and get back over here. Hell, by that time, man, I could have done been three reps into my next set.
I got you one track minded. I understand.
I am when I go in there and work out, the standing around stuff is over. I mean, I know maybe
y'all
don't have this problem with y'all's narrow asses, but I'm going in there, you see.
I wish I had.
And I've got to keep my heart rate up. I'm not going in there to try to lift the house. I got that naturally.
I'm
going to get 15 to 20 reps, and I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to the next machine. I got five exercises, and I ain't pause. I'm going boom, boom. The only rest time is when I walk to the next one. I don't have time to stand up and inspect the bench and go over and watch. Now, if obviously, B. Scott, if I get up off a bench and I've got a patch of sweat where my head was and it's dripping down, I'll clean that up. I mean, I got that.
Right.
But just to create the habit of wiping a bench down, no, I'm out on that.
You're not a madman.
Yeah, no, I'm out on that.
Well, and I will say, if you are the one that wants the bench to be cleaned down, it is up on you to just go ahead and do it on the front end.
Get you a little spray bottle and a box of napkins and came around with you while you're working out, man. That'll be cute. Get you one of them little fanny packs. And get you some cleaning utensils in there.
I've never gone to a piece of equipment and just assumed that the person before me wiped it down on my behalf for my benefit. If I want it clean, I'm gonna wipe it down myself, and then I'm gonna go in about my business.
Tyler can lay his old hairy ass down there and get it all wet. I'm gonna lay down right on top of it and get my damn set in. We'll worry about that sweat later. If Tyler's sweat hurts me after all the stuff I've done in my life, hell, it's just my turn to go.
I hope you don't get staph infection, man. It's on everybody's skin.
Knock on wood. You know what? I've been in the gym more than 99.9% of the world. Ain't had it.
I've had it. It's not
ain't fun. Cleaned the bench. And I ain't never had no staff. Knock on wood. I may have picked it up yesterday after this conversation. Damn, Tyler. Now you're giving me staff in there.
Where's the German?
Golly, man. Hey, we talked in the last segment a little bit about the Texans handling what is C.J. Stroud not throwing at OTAs for an extended period of time here. And look, that's just more of a personal opinion of mine. I don't like the way it was handled. Not a big deal, but I just think if you handled it better up front and kind of faced it on, you know, took it in the face and just, you know, gave a little bit more insight into why the quarterback wasn't practicing, I think everybody'd leave it alone and move on, but still a story because of the way it's getting handled. But anyway, there is, B. Scott, a real reason to pause here and have a conversation about C.J. Stroud. I'm telling you, C.J. and I are wired, being an old quarterback, C.J. and I are wired in a similar fashion in just a couple of ways. Not obviously, he's the caliber player he is well beyond where I ever was. But we're both guys that are wired in a way we understand how important off-season work is and extreme off-season work.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I threw four in the summer, 4 days a week, baby, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, if you missed every now and then because you was throwing or whatever because you went home to see your family or went on family, whatever, but we made it a point to throw four days out of the week when we were in town. And CJ's wired that way to get as much work as he possibly – I guarantee you it's killing C.J. Stroud right now for his team to be out there getting reps and watching other quarterbacks whipping the ball around the park and he's not getting those reps.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There is a level of concern with what's going on with C.J. Stroud not throwing. And for me, it's twofold, B. Scott. When I look at C.J. Stroud and we are, I don't know, 7 or 8 days into over 3 OTAs that the media has been invited to. I think it's been a week and a half, roughly. C.J. Stroud hasn't thrown at any of them. I've experienced shoulder soreness. And I'm talking, when I hear soreness, I'm talking, hey, I'm physically able to throw and I either threw so much or that I'm sore or I tweaked something so I'm sore. Like, that, in my opinion, is, hey, man, sit out of practice, man. We're not going to throw today. We're going to ice that thing down. We're good, good night. We'll get some good treatment on it for a couple days and then we'll get back out here and throw. It is, I have never heard of a quarterback sitting out over a week because of just what they're couching it, general soreness. So I do think there's some level of procedure that took place, tweak that happened. There's something going on beyond just what they're referring to as general soreness. I think that is a real reason to keep an eye on what's going on with C.J. Stroud. Number one. Number two, the importance of these reps in terms of C.J. Stroud's got a new center. Jake Andrews,
yep.
Has been out there running ones. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the guy, but he's been out there a lot. Juice Scruggs has been running some center. He needs all the snaps he can get with the starter. You got Christian Kirk, who is going to be your security blanket, the veteran. You need to create chemistry with him. You got two young wide receivers that, by the way, D'Amico Ryans is comparing to Lassiter and Bullock, by the way, which I think indirectly that's some pretty big shoes to fill as rookies last year. But nonetheless, C.J. needs reps with those guys. And C.J.'s cut from the cloth of I'm going to get those reps at all costs, and he's not getting those reps. So there is clearly plenty of reason to be concerned. Sweep this under the rug, no big deal because it's June. Nah, man, there's a reason why they're talking about it on national TV.
Look, I just don't understand. Like, do we care or do we not? Because it seems like sometimes we want to have it both ways. We want to listen to sports radio in June. And I thank you for listening, by the way. Continue to listen to The Drive. Even check out the Odyssey app in any ways that you can get all of our shows.
Absolutely.
But if you are locked into what it is that we do, okay, if you are a player, if you are a media member, if you are a diehard fan, like I was taught that all of this, like everything mattered, you know. Now they matter to different degrees, but all of the pieces matter to some degree and to some level. Now, if you want to accuse us of making more out of it than what it is, maybe you want to minimize it and don't think it's that big of a deal. Okay, we're all entitled to our opinion, but don't bleep on us just because we care and we're here for all of it, right? Like, what is the point of making these availabilities? To say, what, we're just going to go out there just to smell the grass, just to be glad to be around the players? Like, I'm not out here to jock sniff and the wave pom-poms. I'm out here to evaluate. I'm out here to report the news. I'm out here to give opinions. I'm out here to give a certain level of understanding for what's going on. Yeah. So we're either doing that or we are not. Pick a struggle. Pick a lane. What do we want to be about? Either we are about this football life or we are not. But let's decide and let's go one way or another, right? And I was under the impression that we were all here for this. And so since we are, and this be the quarterback, right? Has something changed? Y'all help me out. Has something changed about the quarterback being the most important position, not just in football, but in all of sports?
No.
For the ones that we cover, at least?
No.
Not one thing.
And so since that be the case, how is it that all of a sudden the quarterback not getting the reps? And again, I've pointed this out a couple of times on the air, but these are not the most hellacious workouts that you're going to ever go through in your life. You know this, Clint. They can't take them to the ground. Mm-hmm. They damn sure better not touch them, right?
That's right.
So since that's the case, the injury risk for C.J. Stroud out there is very, very minimal to begin with because he's the quarterback. And so all he's supposed to be out there doing is getting those reps and kind of building that chemistry and that muscle memory for what this new system is going to be. If there is something that limits him in a way that he's not able to do that, that is worth discovering, discussing, and talking about and getting down to the bottom of it and the truth of it all.
Tyler, that text line done got him.
I mean, think about it. I really don't
discover the reason Mr. Clint Sterner does not look at that text line.
That's it. But your point, B. Scott, that here's the deal, man. As media members, we have a professional duty to attend, report, be aware, analyze what the hell we see. And as a fan, if you don't care, then that's your prerogative. You don't have to care. But here's where I get sideways.
But they do care. They just want to hear what they want to hear, Clint. Right.
But here's the silly part of this. And this is, to me, it's, I'm clearly a guy that everything matters. I don't care if it's May or June. It matters. I've said that for 3 years with Laramie Tunsil until he gets shipped up out of here, when he's the only reliable piece you got on your offensive line, it starts making sense to some folks. So I'm in the extreme. But here's the deal, B. Scott, it's all you got to do is listen to, as a fan, if you're a fan, everybody out there, if you care enough, if you want to understand, listen to your coach. D'Amico Ryans, Nick Cayley, listen to the players, Will Anderson, every player that stepped to that podium and to some degree has talked about, I just heard Jalen Petrie talk about it. I just heard Christian Kirk talk about it, listen to all today, about how important stacking these days and having great days and being there and being a part of it, how important those days are. So if you as a fan don't care, that's fine with me, but it's just silly to try to push the narrative that none of that matters. Next up, let's keep moving.
Well, see, and Clint, it's not even just a text line, and the text line is part of it. But, man, I got even some of my own fellow members in the press corps. They're like, well, what's the big deal? And I'm like, well, what is you here for?
Yeah.
You could go, man, it's 9:30 in the morning. I could have kept my pajamas on, buddy. But we are here, right? Now, we get this text from the 346. I don't understand why it's necessary to know a player's situation. If they're hurt and not playing, it is what it is. John Lopez's least favorite catchphrase, by the way. If they're hurt and not playing, it is what it is. Next man up. QBs are no exception. All right, well, let's take our ball and go home, man. Great talk. Wonderful 4-hour show that lasted exactly 90 seconds, and we can all just go home.
Yeah.
Like, either it matters or it doesn't, and we have established that it absolutely does. And so we're going to talk about it.
Well, it's, I mean, there's a reason why it's, again, I turned the TV on yesterday before I jumped in the shower to go to dinner, and it's, I don't know if it's a lead story, but it's definitely one of the top, discussions that's being had, and they got a four-man panel up there of three former players and a host talking about it.
Oh, no.
About how important it is. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's each their own. It's a big-ass deal. The longer it happens, the more you immediately I think, okay, if it's been going on for 8, 9, 10 days that we know of, how far back does it go? And it potentially could go all the way back to the season and some procedure that was done, or it could just be a strain from throwing, you know, throwing so much in the month of May. So it definitely matters. The closer we get to training camp, the more times we see the team practice and CJ not throw, the more important it's gonna be for everybody out there.
Clint, do you remember the last time we saw CJ Stroud in action? Do y'all remember the last time we saw the Texans play football? Do y'all remember it?
Yeah, I remember it. Kansas City.
They were playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. Do y'all remember how CJ Stroud was treated by the other team in that game?
I sure do.
To the point to where they almost maimed the guy out there. Like, he struggled.
The Chiefs are in bed with the refs.
They had to help him off the field, man. That's right. That was the last time we saw CJ Stroud having to be helped off the field. Then the next time we're supposed to see him, he's limited with some type of shoulder issue.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll keep an eye on it. Ain't no doubt about it. And we'll let you know what, if anything, changes on the CJ Stroud front. I think when soreness stretches beyond a week, I think we've got to keep an eye on it and see what the hell's going on. So we'll do that for you. And that's what we're here for. B. Scott is in for Ron the Show Ugly. Tyler Milner back there is behind the glass with them deep pockets. Better do some damn winning coming up here pretty quick, though. I know that much.
Oh,
And Lance McCullers had him a day, y'all, on a couple of different fronts. Astros fans, Lance is coming, baby. Lance is back. We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Lance McCullers Jr. looking for his first win since September of 2022, and he has it as Hader picks up another save. That's 17 in a row going back to last season, and his 19th career save against the Pirates. That is a new high mark against any one opponent. Christian Walker and Isak Paredes with the home runs tonight, and Blummer 986 days ago the last time Lance won a game, and he'll feel good about this one. Astros with a 3-0 win. A
lot of good yesterday for the Astros, man. You just that highlight right there, Josh Hader, man. 16 save ops this year. 16 saves, ladies and gentlemen. He is worth every penny that the Astros paid him. That is for damn sure. He is rocking and rolling, man. And the big story from yesterday's game is Lance McCullers. I think from yesterday overall is Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers gets his first W this season, first win this season since being called up on May the 4th, and he gets his first W, first win since September the 21st, 2022, which was a long, long time ago. 980-something days, I think, is that what In the Loop said? Is that what they're talking wins?
Man, a long-ass time. You're talking about damn near 1,000 days?
Crazy to think. What a story, man. Crazy to think that dude, and look, I don't know where to land on Lance McCullers yet. We've seen a very small sample size, but I know, boy, the last two outings and two games and four innings, I think. So the last three games have been remarkable given what he's coming back from, right? So, and we're going to get into that first, the game, but there's also a storyline off the field with Lance McCullers yesterday. He gets closure on the threats that were made to his family back on May 10th after he gave up seven runs and recorded one out against the Cincinnati Reds. He got closure on that. I'll give you some details on that in a little bit. Let's talk about, B. Scott, the game itself. Look, six innings, seven Ks, one walk from Lance McCullers. Clearly had his stuff, clearly had what was able to locate and stayed out of trouble. Clearly didn't let the pitch count, which he self-proclaimed. He's like, this is a problem. I'm missing the strike zone and my pitch count's getting too high early in games, so I'm not able to go the distance. But this was a big outing. And again, we're talking two and a half, let's just call it three, three straight outings from Lance McCullers that to hell with not being active for 980-something days, or not getting a win for 980-something days. I mean, we're three outings consecutively where it has been not good. It's been great.
Yeah, and I just don't feel like we can stress the importance enough. And on a day when people are questioning how important things are, I don't feel like we can stress enough the importance of Lance McCullers to this rotation and therefore the overall operation of the Astros. Like, I was thinking about it this morning when I come in to get some work in early, of just how quickly, like, you know how they say life comes at you fast? Mm-hmm. Damn it, this is an example of that. Yeah. Because we come into it, man, Lance, sixth starter. Maybe that's a guy since he ain't played in so long, 900 and some days since his last win, whatever we're talking about here. Maybe that's a dude that you throw in the bullpen. You remember that?
Yeah.
Do we throw Lance in
where,
the...
Not knowing where.
Yeah.
He got defensive. He got somewhat defensive.
He always has been. Oh, he always has been, because that's something that's kind of always lingered.
Well, I remember him, B. Scott, saying, well, you know, I mean, it was almost like he was pleading his case. You know, it's actually harder on your arm when you're coming back from injury to come out of the bullpen with no warning than it is to be a starter. It's almost like he was pleading his case.
That part, and also, like, just in terms of defending what he is as a pitcher, he's like, look, this was before this most recent injury. Yeah. So this was after he had come back from the injury before that, okay? And he's like, look, I'm a starting pitcher, a legitimate starting pitcher in this league, and they don't grow on trees, and I'm one of them. Like he said that, like this was back in the Zoom days, right? When COVID, we were doing interviews on Zoom.
On Zoom.
And he just straight up told us, like, look, starting pitchers don't grow on trees, I'm one of them, okay? Well, That's still the case. And he's proven that over these last few outings, especially the last two, though. Like, I look back at the 12 strikeout one, the most recent one that he had, but, you know, before yesterday. And I'm like, man, that's him navigating. That's him learning the adjustment. One of the big parts about that game was having to make the adjustment to the adjustment. And he talked about that after the game. Like, you'd rather be the one to make the adjustment second than have to make the adjustment first. Right? Like, what I'm doing is not working because they're tattooing me and now I got to make the adjustment. No, I'm making the adjustment to them making the adjustment to me.
Right.
And that's how you dictate the pace and sort of dictate the game. He did that then. He did that even to a greater degree, even though it wasn't as many strikeouts. I thought he was even more in control yesterday, especially when it comes to the strike zone. And like you mentioned in the previous segment, only walking one guy. That's the type of control, the type of command that you want to see from a guy who is no less than your number three starter right now. Maybe not in terms of order, but in terms of trust and reliability. He's your third guy. If the playoffs, if the postseason was to start today, he would start you a postseason game. So, like, if it was a best of seven type of situation, he would start you a postseason game.
Yeah.
So you absolutely need him. Not only do you need him, but you need him to look some version of like what he's looked in these past couple of starts.
Yeah, look, B. Scott, he's been nails since the 39th pitch of three starts ago. I mean, he went 7 Ks, one walk this week. He went 12 Ks the previous start. Before the game before that, he started off rough, was having a hard time finding a strike zone. I think he may have even hit a batter there. And midway through the second inning, had the pitch count through the roof, and he commenced to strike out four of the next five hitters. I think he ended up with 8 strikeouts in that game, maybe even more. But anyway,
I want to say he hit the first guy in this game, too.
I think he did, on
the toe.
Since then, he has been absolutely tremendous. And I'm going to tell you, man, this is one of those deals where I said it, and Ron about fell out of his chair over there. I said, look, it was pretty early on. In fact, it was the game when he got the pitch count high that I was just talking about, and he ended up straightening it out, leveling it out, and having a good outing. I said, Lance is back. I'm convinced that Lance McCullers is back, and he's going to be in a five-man rotation, good enough to be in a five-man rotation and help the Astros win some games.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready.
Yeah,
hold on to your nipples.
Yeah, hold on to both of them, man, or one if you prefer. He's even moved the needle more for me right now. You said he's definitely going to get a start if you're in a 7-game series. Hell yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well, and that's just based off of the current situation now.
The only reason this isn't a bigger deal, B. Scott, is because you got Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown, I mean, absolutely dealing right now as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the strength of the Astros is that they've got, like, Lance McCullers aside, you've got two ace-level pitchers at the top of your rotation.
Yeah.
Like, not just a 1-2, but a 1-1A type of situation going on. But then after that, absence of a Lance McCullers, right? Let's say Lance McCullers is still luxury Lance or still fighting his way through what he's been going through over the last few years, and Spencer Arrighetti's breaking his hand in a freak accident playing catch in the outfield. You got back-to-back years with back-to-back guys going down with Tommy John surgery, and all you got is those two 1-1A aces and nothing else behind that. Man, I just cannot stress it enough, man. You need some version. Like, if it's not Lance McCullers, you're going to need somebody like this. Somebody has got to play the role that Lance McCullers is playing right now. And I trust and I am glad that it is actually Lance McCullers himself, somebody that I've actually seen perform under situations like this. And the cool part about it, specific to him, and I mentioned this earlier, is how he has been able to constantly adjust and reinvent himself as a pitcher and figure out, hey, what works for this version of me now post this injury or surgery or whatever the case may be. It is real cool to watch him have to adapt and then be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely stoked for McCullers. What a story. I'm obviously a huge fan, and it's fun to watch as well. But he's been absolute nails, and it was good to see that last night. Now, speaking of last night's game or yesterday's game, I guess tipped a little early because they are in Pittsburgh, but the fact that on the back end of that, you got a 0-0 ball game, and in the top of the seventh, Christian Walker hits a bomb, which ultimately won the game, but hits a bomb that allows, Lance to get the win, kind of thing. That's a huge plus. We need to see more of that as well. And then we mentioned, you know, Josh Hader going 16 save ops, and he's got 16 saves, so he's absolutely dealing as well. Real quick, the investigation into the threats that were made to Lance McCullers, really his kids, but Lance McCullers family. I don't want to say it's been settled or solved, but they have discovered the individual that made the threats. It was an intoxicated bettor who made online death threats aimed at McCullers' family. This guy lives overseas. He told HPD that he was sorry for what he had done, which was a department spokesperson that made that announcement. Apparently, he was sorry for what he had done, and Lance McCullers even came out and said that he apologized. But just tip the cap, great job by HPD, great job by Major League Baseball, big time by Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, provided 24-hour surveillance, 24-hour security for Lance and his family. But what a relief for his family that this dipwad here was at least has been discovered, and it's not a faceless individual out there walking around where his family's got to look over his shoulder every time they leave the house.
Listen, I like betting, and I'm chronically online, but this is the downside of both gambling and the internet. People feeling empowered in ways that they shouldn't and otherwise wouldn't be if we weren't in the times that we're in.
That's right.
But to your point, I am glad that this is, as serious as it is, it could be a lot more serious, and I'm glad that it's not.
Yeah, so that's it, man.
That's the good part.
His wife and kid can leave the damn house now and not have to be looking over their shoulders, and so he can go to work and not worry about what he's going to come home to every damn day. So, again, big shout out to HPD and Major League Baseball and Jim Crane for making all that happen as smooth as they possibly and quickly as they possibly could. All right, we got B. Scott. So we got the Brandon Scott's Texans report coming up next. All things Texans. We'll cuss in.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Discuss next.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryan's, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
We ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. B. Scott is in, so you're getting a good four-hour-long Texans report today and tomorrow.
That's
by the
right.
Way.
That's right.
But this is that time of the week. It's that segment throughout the week where during Rockets season, it's a Rockets report. During Texans OTAs, it's a Texans report. Damn it, it's a B. Scott report, and this happens to be a Texans B. Scott report we got going on right here. B. Scott, man, there's a lot going on over there right now. I know we've talked the C.J. Stroud thing, you know, to death, and it is a huge topic But we're hearing from a lot of players, and I know you've been there asking the questions. You damn sure heard all the audio, but you're hearing some pretty interesting things on that side of town.
Yeah, and in the interest of all the pieces mattering, including C.J. Stroud, but beyond that, you know, one of the big topics as we go into this season, Clint, is the new look offense. What's it going to look like? What's it going to be about? Of course, they got new pieces, both in terms of weaponry and the offensive line being remade. So all eyes are on that. I think we're all excited about the defense and believe in what D'Amico Ryans is doing with the defense, the leadership of Will Anderson, Derek Stingley Jr. being an all-pro, Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock being the type that can emerge as real legitimate standout players. Like, we're excited overall about the team. But we don't have a good sense for what this offense is going to look like, because how could we? The offensive coordinator is not only new to the team, but he's in his first year playing in this or operating in this role, right? So I thought it would be good, since we got Christian Kirk yesterday, to ask him just a simple two-part question, which I did. I asked Christian Kirk, and his answer made me think of you, Clint, so I'm glad you're back. I asked him, what do you like about this offense? Kind of a generic question that I'd allow him to kind of go into his own, to give us his own thoughts. What do you like about this offense, and what is the difficulty in learning it? And this is what Christian Kirk, your new Texans wide receiver, had to say.
Nick is all ball, very intelligent, very smart, does a great job communicating to us, you know, what the expectations are, route detail, you know, motions, formations, whatever the case may be. He's done a great job kind of laying that out for us. And it's been, I guess, primarily pretty easy, you know, just being able to learn it the way he's been able to install it. You know, Ben McDaniels in our room has done a great job teaching us just all the things from a football IQ aspect that you need to know as a receiver. And this offense is dynamic. A lot of motions, a lot of pre-snap adjustments for the defense to have to, you know, deal with. So I think you'll see a lot of guys in different places to be able to make plays.
A lot of motions, a lot of pre-snap adjustments, and all teaching it in a way that is easy to learn. These are all things that made me think of you, Clint. So yep. I wanted to get your reaction to that. What does that make you think of when you, or does that give you some kind of confidence in hearing a veteran who's new to the team, learning an offense that is also new to the team, speak about it in that way? Wanted to get your reaction to that.
Well, B. Scott, look, for me, it's easy, man. I mean, we, you know, a lot of these players and a lot of these coaches, they have the buzzwords around the league. It's a monkey see, monkey do, or I guess I should say monkey hear, monkey say kind of deal, where it's, you know, guys, you hear somebody say something. All the offensive coordinators right now are talking about, every offensive coordinator in America now is saying, oh, man, I'm going to tailor my offense to each kind of the players that I have, you know, my players' strengths.
Sure.
You know, that's a buzz phrase right now. I think one of the buzz phrases, I know we've heard it around here a lot, is boy, we're going to use a lot of motions and formations to confuse defenses kind of deal. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I thought you might.
I know. I just hope it's real. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's not a catchphrase. I hope it's, you know, I hope that is something that we're looking at, where formations and motions are used to our advantage. I mean, it's not easy. But, you know, the good coordinators, I'm not talking about the great ones, the good ones are going to give you formationally and with shifts as well as pre-snap movements, motions, are going to give you mismatches throughout a game where the quarterback has throws in the ocean. And that is one thing that CJ, I think he had a lot of it his first year, but this last year, everything was so damn difficult. He had to earn every completion. And, you know, you go watch Matthew Stafford out there. I'll use Matthew Stafford because that's where Kaylee came from. You go watch Matthew Stafford, and somehow in crunch time, game on the line, in a drive, they'll find a way to get what's my man up there with the big head, the receiver he's got?
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua. They'll find a way to get Puka Nacua wide ass open.
I love this, how we identified him.
In a critical, he's got a big head, man.
He does.
But, you know, like, McVay finds a way to get that guy, like, literally a throw in the ocean for the quarterback in critical moments of the game, like two or three times. You're just like, that's what good coordinators do.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase it. That's what great coordinators do, right? And so I know it's not easy, but you start hearing Christian Kirk, who's been around the league for a while, start talking about, yeah, man, motions and movements and formations, they're going to be used to our advantage. I hope he's right. I hope we see that come to fruition, because it is a beautiful thing. Football is a lot. It's never easy, But it's a lot less difficult when you've got a coordinator that's on the ones and twos dialing things up.
Yeah, man, it just stood out to me, everything that you mentioned, and of course all of the motions and the pre-snap stuff, and of course it's hard to separate those comments from understanding C.J. Stroud's sort of new role and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of tying all that together, and I'm getting excited just thinking about it, right? And then on top of that, I just hadn't, and this is really more of a buzzword and not all that specific, kind of more so specific what we were just talking about, but just a more generic buzzword that he used that I had not heard anybody else use was dynamic. And of course, you're going to describe your own offense like that. You ain't going to never hear a player come out here and just say, and especially being new to the team, be like, man, you know what? This offense ain't bleep.
Yeah.
This offense ain't dynamic. It ain't cool. It ain't fun. It ain't none of that stuff, man. It's just basic. It ain't nothing. But just the fact that that was his choice of words. This offense is dynamic. And the part about them being teachers of the game that make it easier for them to learn and understand what it is that you're trying to teach. I feel like in the past, in the recent past, that there's been some disconnect in the teaching and the learning, or the teachers and the students, so to speak, and how things, not just what they were doing, but how they were coaching it, and sort of some of the discord and the communication that was happening in that offensive room. It seems like there is some remedy to that. Now, of course, we're early on. Time will tell when the rubber hits the road, so to speak, and there's some controversy, and they got to come up with more answers to the test, right? Adjustments to the adjustments, right? Like, we'll see when that time comes.
Yeah, doing it in real time is a lot more difficult, you know, to do than it is to say it, obviously. It's easy. Yeah. Like, you look at last year, I wasn't as critical of Bobby Slowick in year two, just like I wasn't as impressed with Bobby Slowick in year one as a lot of people. It's the water's going to level out at some point, right? But I think it's very accurate to say, you know, you look back at like Bobby Slowick and the football 101 things were not handled, and that's just the communication, right? And then you look at even the more advanced stuff, which is exactly what Christian Kirk just said about Nick Caley, of like the inability to do what your players do well. Like, again, I know people will sit around and talk about, and I don't like to make excuses at all for Dalton Schultz, but the fact that Dalton Schultz was asked to block a true defensive end in a critical situation in a playoff game, in a survive and advance game, like that's the definition of doing what your players aren't good at, like making your players play to their weaknesses and making them play left-handed instead of playing to their strengths. So it's difficult. We saw it be a problem last year in Houston, and hopefully Nick Caley can write that and get moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and it also made me think about, I know that we heard from a wide receiver and he talked about Ben McDaniels, but since we're talking about some of the new guys, it made me think about, and we'll see how much of a difference this actually is, how much it actually comes into fruition on the football field, but the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach who coaches the unit that struggled the most last year, them being more aligned and being on the same page, kind of working on a string, if you will. Like, that part is significant to me when you think about how, and I don't know what the relationship was exactly, but there was clearly some disconnect between Bobby Slowick and Chris Strausser, the former offensive line coach. And like, to our understanding, Chris Strausser really had no real experience in this type of offense, you know, in the type of offense that Bobby Slowick was running. So there was just a natural disconnect that never really seemed to remedy itself. Even with a year of experience under their belt coming into year two, that didn't seem to help much. It does feel like between Nick Caley, Cole Popovich, and if you want to even tie it into Nick Caserio, all these guys basically come from the same stock. Yeah. And I think that part is going to matter for better or worse. I think all of that is going to matter in terms of how they play as a unit.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems last year, it falls in the lap of the offensive coordinator, and the firing is justifiable. But the reality of it is I don't think you had a coaching staff that saw this thing through the same lens.
No, clearly not.
We can talk about the communication with C.J. Stroud and the offensive line's inability to communicate at the line of scrimmage, and you know, if you don't have the ability, like you just mentioned, the difference being Cole Popovich and Kaylee being so close, if you don't have the ability for that offensive coordinator, that offensive line coach to go to the sideline in the middle of a heated game where you're not protecting your quarterback, you're getting your ass kicked, and go, hey, here's what we're going to do, man. We got these are the two adjustments that we can go to where we're not going to have Dalton Schultz protecting a true defensive end, rush end. You know, he may have to block a linebacker or a safety, but we're going to stay out of the protection where these are our answers. We've got answers. We've talked about it. We know each other like the back of our hand. Here's what we're going to go to. Right? That is a huge advantage. Clearly, that wasn't a thing last year. And I don't think it – look, Strausser and Slowik, I think, have caught a lot of the heat, but it wouldn't shock me at all if it was all involved, right? There was a lot of different, you know, different thoughts and frustrations with how things were handled.
It seemed like at every turn, so many were being pulled in different directions.
Yeah, this is how I would do it. This is how – and the whole time Bobby Slowik was like, no, we're going to do it this way, and you some bucks are going to have to execute it.
Yeah.
And that bit him in the ass. So we shall see. Hopefully those guys are aligned and have the answers that we need. We'll see if they can protect the quarterback.
I also want to add real quick, too, just since we're on the topic of Christian Kirk, and I mentioned this yesterday with Luke Clint, but for me, I understand he's the slot guy, but until proven otherwise, this is their number two guy in terms of weaponry. Like, and maybe some folks don't like to think of the slot guy as that guy. I would say go see the Detroit Lions and Amon-Ra St. Brown being primarily a slot guy, and he's their number one.
Yeah.
But I think until Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel or somebody on this offensive unit that we just haven't seen yet emerges and takes that spot, yeah, Christian Kirk is easily their second most accomplished guy and their second best pass catching option for me right now.
There's no doubt about it. But the reality of it is you got Nico Collins. You just need the other pieces to fall in place, right?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Need Dalton Schultz to produce. Right, you need Christian Kirk to be that reliable slot. You need at some point one of these young ones to come around and be productive, be a good third or a good fourth wide receiver. You need Joe Mixon to be involved in the pass game, the screen game to help. Like, you need those ancillary pieces, if you will, to just contribute. You don't need Stephon Diggs to be an all-pro player next to Nico Collins. You don't need Tank Dell to be demanding 90 catches and 1,100 yards. And, you know, you don't need all that. You just need those guys to, again, we used the Astros earlier. You need the guys that are paid handsomely to play up to par.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, Christian Kirk, right. Joe Mixon, those guys need to play their role.
Yeah, and health goes without saying, right? Obviously, if guys are not healthy, then this conversation goes out the window. But on top of health, you need everything that you just mentioned.
100%. All right, 5 o'clock fire, y'all. 5 o'clock fire is next.